I had fun with it.
No, it was good.
He wasn't being sarcastic completely. I think that part of Jacob's dick is sarcasm. Like, it just comes with the territory.
Not at all.
See, that was sarcasm.
This is Mike Mundy, a walker from The Walking Dead, and you're listening to Comic Pop Library.
Miami last week, I saw some pretty weird freaks. One handed bath salts to me, but then I said, no way. He seemed to be pretty sick, standing there butt naked. Thought he leaned in for a kiss, and so I said, no way. Your eyes were golden, ripped flesh, bones were showing. Broad day, no one knowing. You're a fucking zombie, crazy. Hey, you just bit me, and this is crazy.
Everybody, and welcome to another episode of Comic Pop Visits, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
Jacob
and Logan.
And in today's episode, we're going to be talking to Lynn E. Main. Most of you will know him because he is one of our co-hosts, but also he is currently a debut author of The Zombie Waltz. So, Lynn, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me, Richard. I found the way very easily.
Yes, you did.
Right to my seat. Thank you guys for having me on as a guest. That's awesome. It's
an exciting time for Lynn. Like I said,
I think this is the second time we've had someone actually here while interviewing him.
Yes, we can capture Lynn anytime we want to, almost, if he's in town.
It is getting a little more sparse, but I'm still here mostly.
And because of some of the things that he's doing with his little child that he's developed with the Zombie Waltz, he's going to be taking a little bit of leave of absence from the podcast. He'll be coming in periodically to do some of his midnight showing still, but he's got this major task ahead of him of promoting his book, and we'll be talking about how he's been doing that as well as how he developed the book. But it's very cool to see this develop in Lynn's life. So cool.
Thank you.
On you.
It is awesome. it is a lot of work, and every step of the way, it's a lot of work. But it's, I think, a worthwhile pursuit. So it's work, but you feel like at the end of the day, you worked and you did something that you can be proud of. So it's cool.
And this is one where we got to review it. You've heard the review already. This is the interview. We're going to be getting into a little bit of the book itself. We're going to stay away from as much spoilers as we can. He is currently in the process of working on his second book and then on to his third. And the first question, I know when we were talking about this at one point, you thought about doing it as a trilogy. That's kind of where you were falling in on. But like most authors, and some of the ones we've actually talked to as well, things kind of shift and move. Is that still your game plan, and then develop it into other subcategories?
I think it's still going to be a trilogy. There may be, like a prequel trilogy, like 20 years later, that everyone will hate. just kidding. I love some of the characters, and I have other ideas for stories, but it already is a trilogy pretty much. And the reason is because of the length of the story. Originally I planned on it just being one book, and it got so long. I was like, okay, well, that's not realistic. And I split it into two parts, and then I came back with another thought. Well, it can be a long book, I don't care. And I put it back all together, and I sent it out for some people to beta read, and they read it and read and read and read and read and read and read. And eventually some of them even got back to me about what they read. And that's okay. What I learned from that beta reading experience was, if you send somebody a 200,000 word tome in Microsoft Word, that isn't even a book yet, that, it's going to probably probably take them a really long time, and you know, it's not going to be effective beta reading. And then I thought, you know, for the general audience, for people out there in the world that want to try out a new author or a new book or something new, maybe even a new genre, try zombies for the first time, 200,000 words is a lot, you know. But the story, so the story exists as a trilogy, and it's just the editing and the getting ready for production for the second and third part. So the trilogy exists, and it will come out, but only the first part's out now, and that's the you know, the way it was originally concept, and then that was changed, and then it went back to that. And I think that that's the way it's going to stay. This is going to be a standalone trilogy, and then
branch from there.
There could be things after that. We'll see about that. But I do also want to explore some other things before I get. I want to try and write a few different stories before I get back into any more expansion on this one.
Okay. Now, zombies. How did you get into them?
I think that my original love for zombies came way back in 8th, 9th grade. When I started playing Dungeons and Dragons, and I had some very imaginative dungeon masters, and they were very big on necromancers and very big on the mystical form of zombies that you can just kind of pull up out of the graves, you know, and have them march on the village. And it was a very frightening way to play Dungeons and Dragons. And with my imagination, you know, the zombies were assaulting our village, you know, it was very intense. And then I got into the zombie movies, and I think the first one that I really took big notice of was probably The Dawn of the Dead that was made in 2001. But I had seen other ones before that, and that was the one that really captured me. And then I got really... So after I saw that, I went back and I found Night of the Living Dead, the original 1967 George Romero classic.
Okay.
And then I've watched several of his other zombie movies past that, and a lot of budget movies and maybe even independent movies, ones that come in collections of 12 for like three. When there's more movies than dollars in the case, you know, you're getting the case and 12 movies for the $3. These are low rent, you know, but I mean, so I've seen all kinds, and I've seen some really low budget ones that were fantastic, and I've seen some big budget blowout ones. Yeah, I love George Romero, Land of the Dead, not a fan. Of all the zombie stuff I've seen, of all the Warm Hearts, dug it. That spinoff, you know, I can do spinning on the genre, but Land of the Dead with the zombies getting their pseudo intelligence, and it was very picture as far as looking at the movie, and like Simon Pegg and Nick Frost were in it as zombies, and I'm big fans of theirs. I love Shaun of the Dead, however long that came out, a million years ago.
Yes.
One of my favorites, you know, and so. The Land of the Dead was just, you know, that was when I was like, I could have done without that. And then I saw another one that he made, I think, on an independent budget. I'm not sure exactly how he did it, but he did it with camcorders, like what an independent would use. George Romero did it. It's called Diary of the Dead. And it's really great. You know, he did that not long after Land of the Dead, and it didn't get really, I think, anything. But and then there's, of course, every Land of the Dead, there's Deadland, and Diary of the Dead, there's the Dead's Diary, and there's always, you know, there's so many zombies. So I just, you know, as soon as I got into it, there was already so much. Well, then everybody knows what happened in 2009?
Is that the remake?
2010? When The Walking Dead came out. When The Walking Dead came out, you know, everybody's like zombie fever. And I still hadn't started writing my book. You know, I'd actually originally had the idea back in 2005 for this particular story. Mm-hmm. If you ask how I got this idea, whenever that story comes out, imagine that's when I was 25, not 33. So I didn't actually start writing the book till like 9 years after I had the idea for the book.
Okay, because as you said, of course, this interview is going to be filled with a little bit of insights because Lenny's been here as a host and a friend for quite a while now. So some of this stuff is inside knowledge. So I apologize for some of the stuff we spit out there. But getting to know you and everything, you said you actually, like you said, conceived it way earlier than you began writing it. And it was actually overseas.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yes.
And do you want to go into what you were doing and what sparked that piece of imagination for you that said, hey, this might be something, or you just wanted to scare yourself shitless, or what?
You know, it's really weird, but okay, so what happened? How did I get the idea to write this story originally? Okay, so originally what happened, this is what happened. I'm in Berlin, Germany. I moved in with this girl that I met, and just for a temporary, you know, friendly stay. She had a bunch of roommates, you know, it was totally legit, somewhat romantic. But
do we want to go that route?
It's fine. This was years ago. We went and saw, believe it or not, episode 3 of the prequel trilogy from Star Wars. And then sat around rewatching 28 Days Later or some other zombie-ish movie. And I fell asleep. And when I had a dream while I was asleep that I was attacked and bitten by a zombie specifically on I can't remember which one of my arms, right on the bicep. And I've been bitten before, not by a human, thankfully.
I don't know, some of those sex acts can be pretty wild, you know.
Not like that either, like viciously attacked by an animal. I've been bitten by a dog, and you know, being bitten is pretty traumatic. And so that kind of spawned the idea. Well, and like I said, it took me years to decide to go ahead and write it, because how ridiculous is it to start a story with the main character being bitten by a zombie? It's kind of,
I don't know,
self-defeating. I don't know. the other thing about waiting so long to start it is, for years I worked on stories that you could find no mimicry, I guess, that I could find. You know, I wanted to write stories that were much more original. I had one in a fantasy land, but there were only humans there. I wanted to concentrate strictly on humans for that entire book. There's not, it's very Middle Earth, okay, but no dwarfs, no hobbits, nothing to give it that easy, you know. Well, you can understand what this character is because I just told you he's an elf, so that tells you half of his history right there by that D&D race. And you know, so I was raised in this Dungeons and Dragons mindset, so like I wanted to write fantasy stories like Robert Jordan or J.R.R. Tolkien or C.S. Lewis, some of my biggest, you know, idols. And I also like horror, so you know, the idea kept floating around about this guy, me, getting bitten by a zombie and what I would do with that. And I guess, you know, in some sort of tirade in 2012, on about December 18th, I
just said, what the hell?
Well, what I did was I was sitting there talking to my roommate, and I was very proud of my ability at this point to just tell a story. And so I started to describe to him this dream, and as vividly as I could, and to put it in the present tense, not as if it happened 10 years before, but as if it happened right today. And it's happening now, you know. And I got to the point where I'm bitten, and he pushes his chair back, jumps back, and says, did this really happen to you? And at that point, I said, I'm writing this zombie story. Because there is something there when I can get that kind of a reaction out of somebody just describing an attack scene. Because, and so that caused me, that mindset caused me some problems later on that we may or may not get into, but I very much at that moment wanted to write a zombie story, and I wanted to write a zombie story this way, with this very I don't want to say unnatural, but unorthodox opening.
Right, that's what I was going to say. It's one of the unique things about your book is it is from the point of view of a person that's been bitten. And I don't know of any other story that I'm aware of the top of my head. Of course, I'm not a zombie reader or film expert by any means, but I don't remember anything quite like
that. A true buff will throw you right down. There's Eye Zombie, there's, and Warm Hearts, the main character is a zombie. In Eye Zombie, the character becomes a zombie.
First person point of view, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't actually read those books, just seen the shows. So I don't, yeah, in the show, it's not, you know, in the show, The Hunger Games, it's not from Katniss's perspective. That's a third person, you know, like she's not holding the camera. They had to get that J-Law face on camera. They're like, well, I know it's supposed to be from her perspective, but we cast Jennifer Lawrence, so we're switching it, okay? She doesn't get to hold the camera.
I can understand that point of view. But that was one of your unique hooks, though.
Yeah, then, and it was very important to me to try to hold on to that, and it's very hard, for one thing, to write, and this is something that I'd probably never do again, because it is very hard to write from the first person perspective. Much harder than the third person is. I wrote from the first person after the third person in long form, in the novel form. And it's much easier to write in the third person perspective. I probably should have always only ever done that, made a lot fewer headaches for myself. It's very neat to read, and the present tense is also very hard to maintain, but it's enjoyable for the reader, and something that I really believed was important for this story, to keep it on pace with the reading, like it was happening at that moment,
right?
And to keep it as focused on that, you know, perspective for as long as possible. Of course, you know that it's not how it ended up being, but I feel that it was done purposefully enough and well enough that I hope that it doesn't break it up too much for people to switch from the first person to the third person at times.
We comment about that, if you remember, Logan, that the way the book is structured, you have your chapter headings, then you have sub-chapters, basically.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You actually have headings on that as well.
Yeah.
So the shifts aren't a hard shift. You have that precursor, and was it easier for you to shift that way for you with having those subheadings, Logan?
Probably it made it very obvious when it was shifting, at least.
Right. That way, like I said, it wasn't a hard shift. So where if you're just reading along and then you just shift...
Yeah, in the middle of a chapter, right, without any...
with the subheadings really helped with that, bringing that along.
Well, there are other ways, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are other ways, but that one, you know... Plus, it helped cut the chapters up and made it go a little bit faster feeling.
Yeah. So, yeah, I felt that the brevity in everything, and that was the way it was originally written, too, as far as the subheading little... What I did was, I started writing it, and it was kind of a downtime in my life. I've been with a girl for a long time, and it was ending, and I was starting school, but I was losing my job at the same time, and my home. So things were up and down. You know, I was just trying to go to college, and, you know, trying to write and make something of myself, but, you know, all this bad stuff was happening, so I really felt like I don't know why I did it, but what I did was, as I would write a scene and pretty much finish writing for the day, or sometimes it took me up to a week to do each like page long scene, I would post it on Facebook.
Right.
And that was, and I was able to build a little bit of a fan base that way. Tiny, tiny, tiny little, I'm not trying to be cocky at all here, a tiny little fan base of people that were reading it as it was happening. And, you know, and I was able to get a lot of insights from those people, but I was also able to get a lot of motivation that kept me writing and kept me on track. When what would have been a very negative time in my life, it turned out to be a really positive time in my life, because not only was I writing and very happy with what I was doing, I was getting a lot of positive feedback. Even though now, when I go back and look at those original, I can't believe I released that for any kind of public eye. it was basically the rough draft.
That's what I was going to ask. Did you go back and make any changes?
I removed it after the second draft basically started. I removed the rough draft from the internet. And for a while thought about getting rid of the page and renaming the book and renaming myself and hiding my head in shame. But, you know, in the end, I realized that the page was okay and that the idea was okay. And it was okay that I did it. I probably would never do it again. When you put yourself out there in the public, especially in a raw, rough form, you know, you do open yourself up for a lot of... brutal criticism.
You mean, say something? What some people call the early shames in writing don't often seem to be actually that shameful when they're done by fairly good writers.
And that's so where some of them go back and kind of do a re-edit, and they'll release the unedited form.
Ones that were the early works.
True.
Which is similar to what he's talking about.
Yeah.
They're not always actually horrible. They're...
I don't think it was horrible work. I'm going to let Jacob talk in just a second. Sorry, Jacob.
No, go for it.
I just got to answer Logan here real quick. Yeah, I see what you're saying. But, like, little stupid mistakes. Like, in the middle of the first scene, the main heroine, Faith, her hair changes from brown to blonde. And she's been a blonde ever since. It's like she ran out and got some hair color in the middle of that first scene. And she's been a blonde ever since. And it's like she started out as a brunette and all of a sudden she's a blonde. And I just ran with it. And then I went back and reread like way later. And I'm like...
It's a romance novel. The cover's a redhead.
That's
in the book. It's a...
Because the actress they hired to do the cover, the real pretty girl, had red hair, and she wasn't for this amount of money with my clothes on. I'm not dyeing my hair. You're crazy.
That's like when you have the period missing at the end of a subchapter.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah, it's not
you
that
need
bad.
To be strung up
it's
for.
That's yeah, just something yeah. you can laugh at later.
I don't remember what it was. So let's go.
Oh my God, let's just move on. Yeah. Go ahead.
That happened.
Jacob's turn.
No, you were talking about putting stuff out on the internet, and I was going to make the sarcastic comment that I was like, "You mean the internet's not all sunshine and rainbows? People are accepting on that? I mean,
sometimes, yeah,
really, actually, for my crap." And it wasn't just this. Before I did this, I was the page was called Mal, M-A-L, like Spanish for bad. And
Malcolm
and,
Reynolds from Firefly.
Sure. It was you know, the character of the word Mal has also been used in Captain Planet. It was the computer that that's before Firefly dog. So
I know. Oh, I know.
You know, but know, it, but it's also Captain a word Planet in Spanish, is. So no one owns it. Yeah. But but anyway, the page was called Mal because I have a character that I created mm-hmm. that is also like the character in Firefly. It's also named Mal.
Hey, if it, I just thought it'd be like Firefly. If you don't like it, that's fine. You can be wrong and sit there. But
I actually do. I haven't seen a lot of the show, but I have seen.
There's 14 episodes.
I haven't seen a lot of it. I've seen it on
no
Sci-Fi.
No one's seen a lot of it.
Well, I haven't seen all that exists, but I have seen the movie,
yeah.
which I was very impressed with, and mm-hmm. I've seen some of the episodes,
right?
Because I'm like, this isn't in the movie, and my mom's like, this is Firefly, it's the show. You haven't seen the show? I'm like, no, I don't have Netflix right now. And she's like, oh, it's on Sci-Fi right now, I'm watching it on Sci-Fi.
If only so, the library had it. Does the library have it?
Yep, we do.
Do you have a library card?
Oh my God, Jacob.
You can get it in like 10 seconds or a minute.
Yeah, I get your point. Firefly's a good show. I'm going to check that out so we can review it, okay?
Now back to the...
Shameless plug for Firefly aside. What were we talking about?
We were talking about how you were putting stuff out on the internet, but you're using it basically as your...
Okay, yeah.
Almost as like a... What did you call it? Like a, I guess you call it a zero draft, where basically...
Or rough.
Where you're just writing it as it comes to you and you haven't really gone back to edit it.
A lot of the stuff I put on there before the Zombie Waltz stuff was just, you know, ideas and like, mm-hmm. you know, this character talking.
Right.
It's just real short stuff. I obviously planned on going back and editing it from the beginning. I thought, you know, as I was writing it, you know, a lot of it was very rough, and I'm just like, well, I don't really know what to do here, so I'm just going to keep going, you know, or just end it, you know, some of the scenes I ended in a few paragraphs and just left it at that, you know, and they're
right.
removed or totally different now. Mm-hmm. So the story was, even from the beginning, I intended to make it into something more, but I mean, I was just doing it for fun, and for one thing, I didn't think it would get any attention at all, so it wouldn't matter.
Right.
But I really, what I was trying to say was, I found I needed the attention, and what I was answering. To your sarcastic comment was that for me it was actually very nice because at one point I was very down on myself. You can find the internet will do that. They will right. dog you when you're feeling good, but if you're feeling bad they can kind of, you know. But this girl from New Zealand had been reading it
mm-hmm.
and I didn't know her from Adam, and you know I went on there at 2:00 in the morning all depressed and was like, is anyone even reading this? Should I even keep doing this? And all she said was, I'm reading it, mate, you know, mm-hmm. don't bail out on me now. You know, I'm like, right. well, you know, if this girl from New Zealand's reading it, maybe it's worth me continuing. And so it's just like, you know, because I was just, like I said, in a down point in my life. You know, I don't think I'd ever need that kind of a boost in a normal basis to write because I love to write.
Right.
I'd already written a novel by hand before that.
Mm.
But, yeah, don't do that ever.
No.
It's a terrible idea. I heard that this one writer does it. He's an idiot. No, I don't even know who it is. I don't even know who it is, but don't do it. It's a terrible idea for most people. Most people, unless you're a stenographer, because eventually you need it on a computer where you could work on it. Yeah, oh, so. Yeah.
Except us old fogies that didn't have computers back in the day.
You had like typewriters.
Oh, that's worse than writing at longhand sometimes.
Only if you mess up and don't have whiteout.
Get through all, especially like our turnpapers all the way through.
You forget a period somewhere in there and Logan sees it. You're really screwed. Yeah. You're typing it.
You're trying to draw a little block period. So, but did you put this like out on the internet? Was it you put it on the out on the internet? Was it on like a website or was it on
Facebook?
On Facebook, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just the same page that I use now for my book page.
Mm-hmm.
I renamed it because you can do that.
Yep.
And Then I renamed it again when I decided to drop the article, so that when we talk about it, we don't have to say the Zombie Waltz.
Not like the Lord of the Rings?
The Lord of the Rings, yeah. Like the Lord of the Rings.
Right.
Not a the Lord of the Rings or this the Lord of the Rings, but the Lord of the Rings. What did you say, Logan?
The Lord of the Rings book. The Lord of the Rings.
Ah.
There's three of them.
All right.
There's three of them.
Okay. Interview's over. No, I'm just kidding.
You can use A there.
Yeah, you can.
No,
you
but
can.
I think it's cool that you put it out on Facebook, because I know that there are, what is it, Goodreads or...
There are other... Like, okay, so one platform that I've tried out that isn't bad and I think people could try and check it out, but it costs, is Lit Reactor.
Okay.
You get to read other people's junk and comment on there, and they'll read yours, and you know, you bash the shit out of it no matter what it is.
Right.
Like, real hard. Like, they're like angry.
They'll just take you to
angry
the woodshed.
Writers. Uh-huh. Yeah. That's all they spend their day taking other writers to the woodshed. Like, to each other. That's what they do.
So it's in the trunk.
But, you know.
So don't post stuff on that. Because you're going to pay money to get abused.
Well, and there's, you know, the thing is, if the abuse is okay. I don't mind the abuse. It's the abuse, like, when you pay money and you go on the site and you're thinking, you know, like, it's supposed to be like a writer's workshop where we're working together here. You know, you expect abuse and then maybe like, okay, so this sucks. This is crap. Do this instead, or like maybe you try this, or what if you did this? No, it's just you know, just like, this is crap. Period. You know, that's like,
it's just
no hope at all.
It's just inhabited by trolls. Because I know
it's really brutal, and I didn't like. I stopped posting. I actually paid for it for like 6 months after I stopped posting stuff on there. I'm like, I'm not even posting or reading. And then I would give people reviews and give them like 4 or 5 stars because I'm such a guppy. Like, I'm like, you wrote this? It's great. You know, but I honestly really dig everything. And, you know, I'm writing these reviews and people are like dissing my review.
Right.
Like, tell you, like, I'm getting bad grades on my reviewing. So I just like, I gave up on Lit Reactor. And it was supposed to be transcending or whatever kind Chuck Palahniuk writes in.
Oh, okay.
That kind of writing, which I can hardly read. Like, I read Fight Club because I really wanted to.
Right.
And it's shorter than my book, but it took me a while.
Just,
the movie was easier to read.
What's funny about that is that he says that the movie's actually better than his book.
I think it is.
And, well, I do too. I had the book read to me because I knew there was no way I was going to. I do audiobooks, man. I can't. Especially like that, because I tried like 4 different times to start Fight Club and read it through, and I'm like, not a chance.
No.
But then the audiobook's like 5.5 hours, and I'm like, I can knock that out, and I'd like a drive to Wichita.
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
So who comes to your house and reads you to bed?
No, it's audiobooks.
Yeah, it's audiobooks.
As machines do.
There was a one time Will Wheaton did when I was having Ready Player One read to me.
Nice.
That was nice.
That's pretty fun.
Falling asleep to Will Wheaton's melodic voice.
Dreams.
Wesley.
Sweet dreams.
All right, so anyway, let's...
What, the Zombie Waltz.
Quit crushing on Crusher, yeah, but...
Oh, God.
What were we talking about? Zombies? Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
We got kind of off.
Well, I was going to...
What were we talking about?
No one is immune to rabbit holes.
Yeah, no, especially when I'm here. No, but I was going to ask because so you're basically posting not quite chapters, but something that resembles chapters. Was it you... Like when you have your trilogy basically done or very close to in the editing stage. Did you sit down and outline the whole thing? Or like, okay, this character's going to go here and they're going to do this, and then they're going to go here and they're going to do this, and then they're going to go here and they. Or was it Stephen King style where he's like, I don't know where this story's going, and I just sit down and write it.
Yeah, I'm very Stephen King about that. I very fly by the seat of my pants. To me, honestly, I know Stephen King says this crap, and I know no one believes us. It's really like I just saw it, and it's hard to describe any other way. It's like it was a gift. Like, hey, you get this imagination, you get to make up stuff in your head, you don't even know where it comes from. Just write it down for me. And you know, I'm just like, because it's, you know, there's some stuff that I couldn't do. that they do in mm-hmm. this book. Like, I couldn't do that. The bad guys, the good guys, all of them. I couldn't do any of it. So, like, the fact that I'm describing them doing it, it's got to be something divine, because I'm not, you know, capable of those things. And there's some really terrible stuff that happens in my book, and I want everyone to read out there that reads it out there to know I am not a bad guy. I just...
That's just his
good at making them. Yeah.
No. It's just Tyler Durden.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
So how many of your kids are in the making evil masterminds?
Hopefully none.
haven't read the book yet. No.
None of my kids are old enough to read this book. I haven't given any of them the green light yet. I don't know when. The oldest one seems like the least likely, so I'm like I don't think he would not like it, but I think it's a very bad idea to give him these ideas at this age.
When we were talking about it, we said 16 and up was probably a fairly comfortable age.
Yeah, I know, and then
might be too young.
Well, and then you know,
because you wrote it for an adult audience, not
I did not write it for children.
Yeah,
it's not for children. And whenever people ask me in public, or like when I've done one of these events or whatever, and someone boldly asks me, "So what's the age group on this?" I tell them it's for young adults to adults. Yes. So if you do not consider your child a young adult, if you don't think they can emotionally handle graphic material. And I don't mean anime. I mean, like, tough, you know.
Right. Lots
maybe,
of blood.
Blood and unsettling things.
And like Logan, you just said, say that again so it comes through.
Lots of blood.
About the other thing.
And that sex scenes you wrote are all fade to black ones.
There's
nothing out there that's going to say, oh my God.
Yeah, it's not pornography. It's not, you know.
Like Logan said, it's fade to black.
Yeah.
It's like what you would see on TV, basically.
Yeah, it's, you know, I didn't, and I wrote it for adults, but I wanted it to be for a broad adult audience. I didn't, you know, so I kind of, where some authors do go ahead and go all the way through the depiction of the sex, even though they know if it's a made-for-TV movie, because they've already made 1,000 made-for-TV movies out of their books. Yeah. They're just going to cut to black on that anyway, because it's on TV. But in the books, you find out, they will go ahead and show you what happened. But no, I feel like when I first did that, I wasn't even comfortable writing it. So it just, in my mind, the sex scene just kind of faded to black.
Or faded to red. No.
Whichever. I hope not red. That's terrible.
No, this is, like I said, the youngest I would put it at was 16. If you go any younger than that, I thought it was might be a little bit too much.
I tell people
that young adult is, to me, starts around 18 to mid-20s, and then you hit your adult age. But if you have some mature high schoolers, I think it'd be all right. Cause
it's very scary to say any of that, because the only people that read in this country are teenagers.
I don't know about that.
That was the one where
maybe nobody in this town reads. But and the people that do read, you know, it's like you never would believe the people that are going to end up liking yourself. You never know who it's going to be. But it's really scary. Like, I think it's so much easier to write and censor yourself and write for a teenage audience, because the dollar signs. Like, if I write for teenagers, teenagers read. And teenagers, in most towns, maybe not in this one, in most towns, teenagers read. If they don't have to, they're the ones that they have their finger on the pulse. They know what good books are out, and they're the ones that have the money to spend on it. So, yeah, I mean, and they have the time. They don't work. You know, they do go to school, and they call it work, but it's not.
And let's face it, teenagers aren't expecting, like, Hemingway or Tolstoy.
You can do a lot of stuff that you can get away with teenage audience, and that you would not get away with a literary critique.
I mean, let's face it, Twilight made an ungodly amount of money, and I still don't know how.
There's that. So, yeah, you know, I it was kind of scary not writing for teenagers, but I did not want to censor myself. And here was the thing. Whenever the zombie bites in, we can say that. We can spoil the first chapter, right? Whenever the zombie bites in.
Did you do that regularly on your own?
I didn't. I think that was an insult, but I'll
No.
Because
you used that as the draw. You were described the first.
Oh no, no. Well, the opening scene. I totally tell everybody that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So I don't know what I'm tripping about. Okay, delete all that stuff. No. You know, whenever the zombie or former human or whatever sinks his teeth in, the first thing out of any sensible, honest, decent thinking, intelligent person's mouth is going to be, fuck, sorry, it is. And that's reality. And I see, I wanted to write, if I was going to write really zombies, it's going to be much louder than that. I tried to censor the sound a little bit on that. You can turn it up on your computer if you want to get the full effect. But I mean, I'm serious.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't matter how intelligent you are, when somebody is biting into you, you're going to start using profanity.
Oh, yeah.
And that was something that, you know, I didn't want to cut out the profanity, and I didn't want to worry about the blood. So I just decided from the very beginning, I was just going to leave the blood and the profanity the way it was and just see what happened. I guess if it got banned or burnt, that would just make it more famous. So
there you go.
You know, whatever. What? Ban it from your library, please.
Well, you know. Les and Faith, are they drawn on different people or
totally fictitious?
Totally fictitious.
I've never met anyone with any of those names. I don't know any No, actually, I think every character that's ever been conceived and written in any book by anyone, no matter how well or how poorly, is drawn on some kind of inspiration from somebody they know. I think that's something that writers do in a very purposeful sense, you know, like to a degree. And then to a degree, they always embellish and change. And, you know, every bully that ever, you know, your bad guy is going to have your bully's features, yeah. Whether it be a mole here or a scratch there. Yeah, or they'll get theirs. And then the ones you loved, they're going to have their features that right. match. And I think that that's just something that's, you know, normal mm-hmm. and totally healthy. And not crazy. But they weren't specifically drawn on specific people. The names were pretty specific. Les is a family name. And the whole idea of Faith is, okay, there's this cliche that the first baby born after the zombie apocalypse is always going to be named Hope. And, you know, I actually have a cousin named Hope, believe it or not. And, you know, Faith is like a cliche name. I wanted it to be kind of like, okay, wait a minute, are you messing with me? Your name's really Dr. Faith? You showed up with a shotgun in the apocalypse, really? This happened? And then kind of try to, you know, make that okay with the reader, like give them that cliche right up front, you know, but then give her enough depth that they could appreciate in the end that cliche and why she goes by Faith. Okay. And I think it's a pretty lovely sentiment, but I don't want to get into any of the reasoning that, because that's for the future. That's, I don't want to spoil that. But okay. As far as the characters themselves, I think that I just kind of drew on the idea of what this person, you know, from people that I knew or whatever, would do and how they would act. And then they very quickly, especially these two, but even other characters in the book, a lot of the characters kind of started developing their own personality. And there's this one character that his name actually changed during the writing like 6 times. But his real name, his actual name, never did.
Huh.
He went through all these phases in my writing of aliases. He kept changing because of whatever reason in my head that he thought he should have to do that. And then finally he just said, screw it. And he just goes by his real name now. So one of the characters, his name changed quite a bit. And then some of the characters' names just changed because I didn't quite like it, or you know, I just found another name that I like better. But Leslie, actually, the name Leslie is a family name and that's very personal to me. So I wanted to use that from the moment I conceived the book. So that was his name from the very beginning.
And then with Faith, you drew on what I would say, I guess, the French Cajun culture with her name. Fatima
is actually it is very popular name in France, but it comes from the easiest to say is Morocco, but from the Moorish culture. It's an Arabian name and it means the shining one.
Okay.
And and so that name also, I really love that name, Fatima. And Faith is like a nickname,
right?
So they don't mean the same thing, but
we didn't know if it was a nickname.
Logan knew.
I thought Fatima meant fate, but yeah.
I kind of went, did she change it just to, and this is in the review we did, did she change it just to make it easier? you know, for, you know, people allowed to do that, or that it's just a nickname, like you said. But I thought maybe she might have just changed it. But you're just saying it.
No, yeah, and she even says in the story she changed it. She did change her own name, so it she legally changed her name. Her name and. This actually,
it's a long name. We actually said it. Well, I probably mispronounced it, but I said it all.
It's Fatima Marie Antoinette de Beaumont Claire.
Okay, that was better than what I did.
And I messed it up a little bit on the Beaumont. De Beaumont Claire, yeah. Her her last name's hyphenated. Her parents didn't change their names exactly. And her her first name and double middle names are very long, and it's very French. And she... I felt like she dealt with that a lot in high school, and she fixed it whenever she was old enough to do it for herself, and she made it very clean, Faith Marie Beaumont. She, cool. You know, and she thought that that was easier to say, and, you know, for reasons that I don't want to divulge. Right. There's more to that, too, but I don't really want to get into the real reasons, so that's for later.
Well, since we're at a stopping point, I'm going to wind us down and come back in with a second part with Lynn. So, Lynn, thank you very much. We usually say Lenny, but it's actually, his full name is Lynn.
Yeah.
Lynn.
So, that's why we're saying Lynn instead of Lenny. So, people are kind of confused with that. That's why we're saying Lynn. So,
we just usually include his middle initial in his name for some reason.
I do. You know, and actually, I didn't even start it, but my kids and friends around Lakin started calling me Lenny, and I just kind of went with
it.
It's
your nickname.
It's my nickname, so, and it's also my middle initial, so it works really well. There you go. It's just easy.
But we appreciate, before we wrap this section up, give all the details. I know you have the Facebook page under Zombie Waltz.
No, it's not. Well, you can look up Zombie Waltz, and you, after scrolling for a while, might find it, but if you actually go to facebook.com/DDead, B Boys Life. I love nicknames, obviously, and my main character also gets a nickname in the book, and it's Dead Boy. So it's facebook.com/DeadBoysLife, and that's the easiest way to find it, is to just go directly to the URL, because that's its
URL.
There's
one question left. Okay. Apostrophe or not?
No. They won't allow apostrophes. I tried to. I wanted it to be correct for you, Logan, because I knew you'd freak out. But,
no, I just laugh.
I knew you'd just laugh and laugh and definitely mention it 1,000 times. But either way, I wanted to, and they're like, you can't put apostrophes in the titles on these URLs. They wouldn't accept the apostrophe as a character. So
those Facebook police.
God. Yeah, Facebook ruined your life, not me. Okay.
Also, you can find the book on Amazon.
You can just look up Zombie Waltz.
The Kindle edition there as well.
There's the online version on Amazon. And also, if you have Kindle Unlimited, the online version is free, something that Amazon is doing for us. I don't know how long it's going to last, people. So if you want to get it for free, $0, and you have the Kindle Unlimited, definitely check that out. I'm going to leave it on there, but I think that they have a limited time that they are willing to do that. So as long as it can be, it'll be free for people that use that subsidiary. So
cool. Very cool. Well, thank you for coming in, Lynn.
You're welcome.
And we will be back here in the next episode with Lynn again. So we hope you've been having fun listening. We've been having fun. We'll catch you on the flip side.
Bye.
Bye.
Our love story could be kind of gory. Far from boring, we'd meet at a post. Lips. Yeah, I'd be slowly walking in a group stalking you. You'd be the only man alive that I could not resist. Then all of your friends, they'd try to kill us, but only because they'd be jealous that our love is deeper than Edward and Bella's. Oh, if I were a zombie, I'd never eat your brain. I just want your heart, yeah, I don't want your heart, I just want your heart, yeah. Oh, if I were a zombie, I'd never eat your brain. I just want your heart, yeah, I don't want your heart, I just want your heart, cause I want you. You'd be hiding in a second floor apartment, knocking all the stairs down to save your life from the undead.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it If you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.